Hello, I'm Rob, a producer on the Black Country Talking News, and this week's edition is for the 21st of April, 2021.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sightloss charity, Beacon Centre. A message to our listeners who receive the Talking News on CD in the post. This remains in paper envelopes and not the usual plastic wallets, so there's still no need to send anything back to us. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. All you need to do is say, "Alexa, play Black Country Talking News." Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods. Calling 01902 213 210. Visiting our website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, www.blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by simply searching Beacon Black Country Talking News and hitting the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Simon. Reading this week, we have myself, Rob, writer Graham Fisher, Mina, Ed, Pete, Helen, Simon, Liz, Christine, Ian, Angela, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country, we have the Flashback Quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, important information about the COVID-19 vaccination programme, the weather, an edition of Sounds of Nature, information about Charles-Bonnet syndrome, and rounding all that off, another one of Graham Fisher's Tales from the Barn. But we start with some local news, and starting us off, it's Christine.
Almost one in five care home staff across the Black Country in Staffordshire have not been vaccinated against COVID-19. Care home staff could soon be required by law to receive a COVID-19 vaccination under plans put forward by the government, as figures reveal more than 3,000 workers across the region have not had a first dose. A five-week consultation on mandatory jabs has been launched following concerns about whether enough carers have been vaccinated to stop the virus spreading to residents. Across the region, 14,869 out of 18,264 eligible staff, including agency workers, at older adult care homes had received a first dose by April the 11th, according to latest NHS figures, meaning 18% have not had a jab. In Wolverhampton, 21% of staff have not had the jab, while in Dudley the figure is 23%. In Sandwell it is 24%, Walsall it is 21%, and in Staffordshire the figure is 15%. Dr. Paddy Hannigan, clinical lead for the vaccine programme in Staffordshire, said, "Care homes look after some of the most vulnerable people in our society, and we want to see all staff vaccinated against COVID to protect residents, the staff, and everyone else they come into contact with. We are working hard to identify all causes of vaccine hesitancy so we can overcome them and reassure people that the available vaccines are both safe and effective. There are virtually no circumstances in which the risks of being vaccinated are greater than the risk of contracting COVID." Sally Roberts, Chief Nursing Officer, Black Country and West Birmingham CCG, and Senior Responsible Officer for the local vaccination programme, said, "We are pleased everyone aged 45 and over has been invited to get their COVID-19 vaccine. We continue to see that some people are not taking up the offer of a vaccine, but no one will be left behind. The vaccine is safe and effective, and people should go and get it when asked to do so."
COVID vaccination invitation letters have been mistakenly sent to a number of people who are not eligible in Wolverhampton. Wolverhampton Council and the Black Country and West Birmingham Clinical Commissioning Group have written to the 24,000 people in the city who are eligible for a vaccine but have not taken it up. Within 48 hours, 3,000 calls had been made from people wanting to take up the invite. but the council has said there are isolated reports of a small number of letters being sent to people who are either not eligible or who have already received it. A spokesman for Wolverhampton Council said, "The City of Wolverhampton Council and the Black Country and West Birmingham Clinical Commissioning Group have written to approximately 24,000 people in Wolverhampton who are eligible for the life-saving COVID-19 vaccine, but for whatever reason have not yet had it. At the time of sending the letter, these included people aged 50 and over, people with underlying health conditions, frontline health and social care workers and carers. Over 45s are now also eligible for their jab. We have had a very positive response to the letter, receiving almost 3,000 calls within the first 48 hours from people who have subsequently decided to book their vaccine. While the letter was sent in good faith, we are looking into isolated reports that it has been received by people who either might not be eligible for the vaccine or have already received it. We continue to urge everyone in Wolverhampton to get both doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as soon as they are eligible to do so, in order to give themselves the best possible protection against coronavirus." Dr. Salma Rihana, clinical chair for the Black Country and West Birmingham Clinical Commissioning Group, said, "Numbers of vaccinated people increases daily. Therefore, the data used to call people for their vaccination changes rapidly, which can lead to some people being contacted more than once. I would encourage all people who are eligible to have their vaccine when they receive their invitation."
Staff at a troubled Wolverhampton school are set to go on strike over concerns about workload and safety. Union members are planning a walkout at St Peter's Collegiate School in Compton, with staff said to feel unsafe under the current regime. Concerns have also been raised over a lack of consultation with staff over the future of the school, which has been mired in turmoil for the past 2 years and was slammed by Ofsted in October for serious lapses in safeguarding procedures. A 3-day strike is planned to start on April the 20th, by which time pupils will have returned to school after the Easter holidays. Paul Nesbitt, National Executive Member of Teachers Union NASUIT for Wolverhampton, said the strike was a last resort and that it was necessary as school leaders had failed to address staff concerns. He said the dispute centred around issues including adverse management practices, including workload and a failure to consult. There were also health and safety concerns over asbestos and fire safety, with the union still waiting for confirmation that the school's fire alarm system was fully operational. Brenda Weil, Wolverhampton Council's Deputy Director of Education, said, "The council has worked closely with the school and the trade union over recent weeks to encourage transparent discussions around the issues that have come to light, and we are keen to provide support to the school and the workforce to enable a positive resolution to be reached, including improved communications between the leadership and governance of the school and the workforce. The school is working hard to mitigate the impact of the strike action on the students, and talks are continuing between the parties. The council is also continuing to assist with these endeavours, prioritising the needs of the children and young people on roll at the school."
A bereaved woman from Wolverhampton is among more than 112,000 patients and relatives who are demanding action from the government to fund research into brain tumours and help find a cure. Lily Deans, aged 23, who is studying law in Birmingham, has signed a petition created by the charity Brain Tumour Research calling for increased investment into scientific research and parity of funding with other cancers. The postgraduate from Maryhill lost her father, Michael Deans, known as Mick, to an aggressive brain tumour. Mick, who had owned his own business, Bagridge Joinery Limited, with a partner, was diagnosed in December 2014 after suffering a couple of big seizures and underwent surgery, radiotherapy and chemotherapy. He continued to have seizures and had to give up work, which resulted in his business folding, and in the early summer 5 years ago, a scan revealed the tumour was growing again and had spread, and following risky surgery, after a bleed on the brain, Mick passed away 3 days before his 50th birthday. Lily said, "It was very distressing seeing Dad have seizures. And learning that the tumour was growing again came when I was in the middle of sitting my A-levels. He left behind a wife, a daughter and a son, brothers, parents and friends who all miss him and love him desperately." Sue Farrington-Smith, Chief Executive of Brain Tumour Research, said, "Now is the time to give hope to thousands of families impacted by a brain tumour every year. Along with more than 112,000 people, I am calling on the government to make this the time to level up and stop the devastation."
Three more local news bulletins coming up, but now it's time for our weekly update from Beacon.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from the Beacon Centre, back with your weekly update of everything that's been happening here at the charity. I hope you are well. This past week has seen new COVID-19 guidance come into force across England. Many of us have been taking advantage of it with a trip to the hairdressers or perhaps even a pub beer garden. But we know it can also be really worrying as well to take those first tentative steps back into the world again. The new restrictions have meant, though, that we're able to reopen the doors to 6 of our 7 retail stores, and we have so enjoyed welcoming our customers back. With many homes having lockdown clearouts, we know a lot of you will have kindly kept some items aside to donate to us, and we can't thank you enough for your support. If you'd like to donate something, please ring in advance to check if we're able to accept items via 01902 880 111 option 2. All of our stores apart from Canic are able to reopen at this stage, and our opening hours are on our website www.beaconvision.org/shops. We've also taken steps to ensure the measures we've brought in across our shops are sight loss friendly, as we know some of the more visual safety measures like social distancing can be challenging for blind and partially sighted people. Some of the ways that we're keeping you safe include the use of face masks, social distancing with raised markers to make it easier for visually impaired people, hand sanitizer, and contactless payment where possible. We're also backing the RNIB campaign to encourage everyone to maintain the space, be patient and be helpful. And if you can't get out, you can still shop via our eBay store, where you can get the same great bargains that are in our shops. Head to www.ebay.co.uk/str/beaconcharityshop. Along with our shops reopening, we've also been able to relaunch our house clearance service. We can offer a COVID-19 safe service that's free for partial clearances or subject to quotation for a full property. What's more, with Beacon, you'll be helping to support someone with sight loss in your community. To find out more, call 01902 880 111 option 2 or email warehouse@beaconvision.org. Now, lastly this week, we would like to say thank you if you entered our Easter raffle. Together, everyone who entered raised an incredible £429 to support people with sight loss. All of our winners have been contacted and we can tell you they are delighted with their prizes. That's all for now. Hopefully, I'll catch up with you all again soon.
Cheers, Helen. Thanks for that. Coming up next, we have some more local news.
An MP has called for more bobbies on the beat in a town after a move for a new police base stalled due to rising costs. Suzanne Webb said the number of officers around Stourbridge High Street had plummeted since the town's police station was closed down in August 2017. She said that now shops had reopened after lockdown, it was crucial that the Stourbridge Neighbourhood Policing Team, currently housed 3 miles away in Brierley Hill, was relocated back into the town. Labour Police and Crime Commissioner David Jamieson signed off on the use of a council office in Market Street as a temporary base for officers in October 2019, but it has now emerged that the move has hit the buffers due to spiralling costs. Jay Singh Sohal, the Conservative candidate for PCC at next month's election, has pledged to reopen a police base in Stourbridge and to increase the number of neighbourhood officers. He has also committed to a review of the force's controversial estates programme, which has seen the closure of more than 20 Black Country police buildings in a bid to cut costs. Mr. Jameson, who is retiring next month, said, "I signed a decision to proceed with discussions with Dudley Council on the Market Street site. It has shown that the costs of both parties are more than originally anticipated. We are totally committed to ensuring a new base for the neighbourhood team in Stourbridge and continue to work with the council on a suitable site in the town." He added that it was astonishing that Mr. Singh Sohal was proposing to use taxpayers' money to keep empty police stations open and was pretending to the public that no cuts had occurred.
A mobile COVID-19 testing unit has moved to Wolverhampton's West Park this week. Anyone without symptoms of coronavirus can currently get a free rapid test without an appointment at the mobile unit in West Park, positioned close to the tea rooms, where it will be open 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. until Sunday, April the 25th. John Denley, Wolverhampton's Director of Public Health, said twice weekly rapid testing is key to monitoring coronavirus infections, as evidence shows 1 in 3 people infected with COVID-19 do not show symptoms yet may still pass it on. Regular asymptomatic testing is helping to stop the virus spreading further, so I would encourage everyone living in Wolverhampton to get a test twice a week. As well as the mobile testing unit at West Park, free rapid testing for people without symptoms of COVID-19 is also available at the Civic Centre St Peter's Square, the Jamia Masjid Bilal in Newhampton Road West, Penderford Library, the Hub at Ashmore Park and St Joseph's Church in Willington Hall Road. In addition, and to support twice weekly testing, free COVID-19 home test kits are currently available for collection.
The University of Wolverhampton has outlined its plans for the next 10 years, focusing efforts on people and place to help the economy emerge from the COVID-19 pandemic. Work on the Vision 2030 plan began before the COVID-19 pandemic, but the university says its purpose has never been more vital to the resurgence of the region and its communities. The plan includes a list of goals which outline what success would look like in 2030, including a personalised approach to learning centred on individual students, research with clear benefits to society, and a network of science and innovation parks. Vision 2030 also highlights the importance of the environment and sustainability, with the aim of being carbon neutral and a focus on recover and reuse to achieve zero waste. Vice Chancellor Professor Jeff Layer said, "Our new strategic plan, Vision 2030, cements our commitment to our place, our regions and our communities, and also our people, our students, staff, graduates and partners. In the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, the needs of our people and place have never been more prominent, and the importance of education and skills will be at the forefront of economic and social recovery."
A former haulage yard and care home site hit by antisocial behaviour issues in Briley Hill could be bulldozed to make way for more than 30 homes. A proposal has been submitted to Dudley Council's planning officers for the redevelopment of the old Mail and Son Pensnet Yard on the High Street. Developer Broadhaven Homes said the proposed 32 properties, which will be named Henry's Walk after the owner of the haulage business, would help meet a demand for houses in the area. Mail and Son Pensnet was incorporated in 1956, but ceased trading almost 20 years ago. In the application, planning agent Koori Architects said the site sits within an established residential area and benefits from a number of high-quality amenity uses. It's close to excellent public transport links, which serves both nearby towns such as Stourbridge and King's Wynford, and wider cities such as Birmingham and Wolverhampton. The proposal is to develop the site as a residential development, comprising 32 high-quality 2, 3 and 4-bedroom homes. This development will not only encourage the effective use of a brownfield site in a sustainable location, it will deliver much-needed high-quality homes, boost housing supply and offer users direct and convenient pedestrian routes to local surroundings and excellent amenities. The development will also alleviate previous concerns by local residents, namely the increase in antisocial behaviour and poor visual appearance of the area. They added, "Through the initial site research, it was discovered and confirmed by records shown at Company's House that the owner's name of the transport company was in fact Joseph Henry Mayle. The development will therefore be named Henry's Walk in order to capture and continue the site's historical reference to a significant person and business local to the area."
A total of £1,000 has been donated to a project which aims to tackle the digital divide among schoolchildren across Wolverhampton. Wolves Tech Aid received the funding from the Mid-Counties Co-op, with the money being used to refurbish donated computer equipment. It was launched by Pat McFadden, MP, and partners across the city to ensure children don't miss out as education becomes more digital. The move comes after concerns pupils were struggling to access online education when schools were closed due to COVID-19 lockdowns. Mr. McFadden, MP for Wolverhampton South East, said, "A huge thank you to the Mid-Counties Cooperative for their fantastic donation to Wolves Tech Aid. We have been greatly encouraged by the support for Wolves Tech Aid since its launch a few weeks ago. This money will be used to help challenge the digital divide among school children and is all part of the effort to ensure that as education becomes more digital, it doesn't also become more unequal." During the pandemic, the Department for Education and Wolverhampton Council have provided laptops for youngsters in the city, but some schools say children have been trying to do lessons through parents' mobile phones due to not having access to the right equipment. The project already has the support of Wolverhampton Council, the Black Country Chamber of Commerce, Wolves Football Club Foundation, and the Learn Play Foundation, a not-for-profit organisation. Rohans, Managing Director and Legal Counsel of Learn Play Foundation, said sincere thanks to the Mid-Counties Cooperative for their support and very generous donation. "We are very grateful that they have recognised the urgency and plight faced by so many young people in the city."
We have two more news updates coming up, but now it's time to cross over to Mina.
Hello and welcome to the Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. What's odd about Harry Potter's specs? Question 2. What is added to white sugar to make it brown? Question 3. How many terabytes is equal to 1 petabyte? Question 4. How long did it take for iPod to get 50 million users? Question 5. Do you read faster or slower reading from a computer screen? And question 6. On average, how many spam mails are sent out to get 1 reply? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show, but for now, good luck!
Thanks for those questions, Mina. Puzzling as always. Now we have some more local news, and starting us off, it's Liz.
Bike stands are being installed in and around a Black Country town centre ahead of a new cycle hire scheme being introduced in the borough later this month. The West Midlands cycle hire scheme is already up and running in areas across the region, including Wolverhampton, and is due to be rolled out in Stourbridge. The grey and green bikes will be available in and around the town with docking stations at key sites. These will include Stourbridge bus station, a spot near the bonded warehouse, and in the town centre itself. The bikes can be hired using the Beryl Cycle Hire app, which will include COVID safety advice. Later this year, the bike hire will also be available via the new Swift app. It costs £1 to unlock a bike and 5p per minute after that. This means a 20-minute cycle will cost £2 and an hour would be £4. Balvinder Heron, Deputy Chief Executive at Dudley Council, said, "This is a great scheme to encourage people to be more active in their local communities, as well as giving people an alternative option to using the car and therefore reducing car journeys and local levels of pollution. We have spoken to local people about how the scheme will be rolled out in Stourbridge. And if it is successful, we hope to roll this out in other areas across the borough." The cycle hire scheme has been delivered by Transport for West Midlands, part of the West Midlands Combined Authority, to encourage more members of the public to become active and healthy. The scheme also offers a convenient and more environmentally friendly alternative to the car for shorter journeys.
A new advice service is set to offer members of the Windrush generation from across the Black Country a helping hand. The Windrush Justice Clinic service in Bank Street, Bilston, will focus on those who need assistance completing the Windrush Compensation Scheme forms and to help people who are undocumented to obtain documents that legitimise their immigration status. The project was inspired by the death of Windrush campaigner Paulette Wilson, who lived and worked in Wolverhampton and had campaigned to see the end of what was regarded as the Home Office's hostile environment. The service launched on Monday and is the product of a campaign by local solicitor Maureen Mitchell and social activist Dr. Patrick Vernon, OBE. A team of professional volunteers from law firms in the region are helping to set up and run the organisation, and the Law Centre at Wolverhampton University will help to triage clients from the Windrush generation. The service has already made connections with the Windrush National Organisation and other Windrush activists and lawyers' organisations across the UK. Spokesperson Maureen Mitchell said the service was needed for people in the region who had suffered from the Windrush scandal. She said, "Many of our service users have difficulty with accessing help with legal issues, sometimes because of their vulnerability or lack of trust, but mainly because of the high costs associated with defending their claims. We aim to be a service that people from our community can trust to provide them with a professional, reliable and quality service."
Cinnamon Care has submitted a proposal to build 34 extra care flats in place of the Arena nightclub on Hagley Road as part of a wider £20 million retirement village proposal for the area. Last month, the company announced it had purchased the property for an undisclosed fee with the intention of building the apartments intended for the over 55s in need of specialist care. Work is currently ongoing on the site adjacent to the nightclub for Cinnamon Care's new Parkfield Grange home, which is due to open in May. Bosses said the flats would provide a social link to the development. If Dudley Council planners approve the latest scheme, the nightclub will be torn down and a total of 34 one- and two-bedroom apartments, as well as a restaurant, built on the site. Across the two sites, shared facilities will include a cinema, hair and beauty salon, communal gardens and a restaurant and a cafe bar. Dozens of new jobs will also be created in the retirement village. In the application, Cinnamon Care's planning agent, Harris Irwin, said, "The proposal is to demolish the former Arena nightclub, which stands adjacent to a newly built Cinnamon Care home, and to build 34 extra care apartments offering independent living accommodation for people aged 55 plus who require additional specialist care. The proposals include central communal facilities and a large open garden intended to perform as a social link with the care home, encouraging social interactivity to promote a sense of communal well-being. The apartments will be managed by Cinnamon and will provide residents with care packages on an individual needs basis."
A Black Country man has been accused of sending a footballer an offensive message over social media. Simon Silwood from Kings Winford has been charged under the Communications Act of sending an offensive message to West Bromwich Albion player Romain Sawyers in January. The 49-year-old will appear before Dudley Magistrates Court on April the 29th. The investigation was carried out by PC Stuart Ward, who is the UK's first dedicated hate crime officer within a football unit. A spokesman for West Midlands Police said, "We've charged a man after West Bromwich Albion player Romain Sawyers was racially abused online. Simon Silwood is accused of sending an offensive message to the footballer via social media in January of this year. The 49-year-old from King's Winford has been charged under the Communications Act to appear before Dudley Magistrates Court on the 29th of April. The investigation has been carried out by PC Stuart Ward, who is the UK's first dedicated hate crime officer within a football unit. He is at the forefront of our unit's ongoing work to stamp out any abuse against footballers and fans."
A huge new base for one of Britain's biggest gas suppliers will be built in Wolverhampton after plans were given the green light. Cadent Gas will take up more than 36,000 square feet of space on Bowman's Business Park off Planetary Road, keeping hundreds of jobs in the city. The firm wanted to bring its two existing Wolverhampton sites in Stafford Road and Cats and Kittens Lane together to help improve its operation, which serves Blackcountry, Birmingham, Worcestershire, Stoke-on-Trent, Northampton and Coventry. As well as the main depot, the new site will feature offices, a logistics store, car parking, cycle storage and a service yard. The company currently employs 300 people, including 100 operatives who spend most of their working day on the road carrying out maintenance works. All these jobs will be retained, and representatives for Cadence said the new depot will enable them to expand and create more employment in the future. Planning agent Pegasus Group said the proposed development will be brought forward by Cadent as part of their Greater West Midlands Gas Distributor Facility, and they wish to continue their presence in Wolverhampton through the consolidation of their existing facilities into one sustainable base. Through this application, they will commit their long-term future to the city for several decades, whilst making a multi-million pound investment into the local area. The existing 300 members of staff will be transferred to the new facility, and through the creation of this bespoke premises, it affords Cadent opportunities to grow, resulting in new job creation in the future.
Next up, it's Pete, who asks for some information about the sight loss condition known as Charles-Bonnet syndrome.
There are many conditions that cause sight loss. One lesser known condition is Charles-Bonnet syndrome. It's a condition that causes people who have lost some sight to see things that aren't actually there, so also known as hallucinating. It is only caused through sight loss, and it isn't a sign of mental health problems. There are two main types of hallucinations. Number one, simple, repeated patterns or shapes, such as grids or brickwork patterns. And number two, complex hallucinations of people, objects and landscapes. The condition can be quite frightening, but becomes less frequent with time. Many people who live with eye conditions, such as macular degeneration, glaucoma, or diabetic retinopathy, could develop Charles-Bonnet syndrome. It's difficult to know how many people have the condition, as many people don't talk about it or tell their doctors. It is thought there are more than 100,000 cases in the UK. People of any age can be affected by Charles-Bonnet hallucinations, but they tend to occur later in life after a person starts to lose their sight. The main cause of Charles-Bonnet syndrome is thought to be vision loss and how the brain reacts to it, as when a person starts to lose their sight, their brain doesn't receive as much information as it used to, and it is thought the brain sometimes responds by filling in the gaps with fantasy patterns or images that it stored. If a person has vision loss and they're experiencing simple or complex hallucinations and don't have signs of dementia or mental illness, they may have Charles-Bonnet syndrome. There is currently no cure for Charles-Bonnet syndrome. Simply understanding that the hallucinations are a normal consequence of sight loss rather than a mental health problem can be very reassuring and help the person cope better. There are some things you could try yourself to help relieve hallucinations if and when you experience them. For example, when an hallucination starts, you could change the lighting conditions to see if it disappears. Move your eyes from left to right. Move around and change what you're doing. And remember to make sure you're well rested and getting enough sleep at night. The hallucinations may be worse when you're tired or stressed.
Thank you, Pete. Now we have information concerning COVID-19. COVID-19 rapid home test kits can now be picked up from more locations in Wolverhampton. People who work in a school or college, who live or bubble with someone at school or college, childcare providers, and people working in an occupation critical to the reopening or schools are eligible for home testing and are urged to get tested twice a week to help keep the city's schools COVID secure. Rapid testing is crucial in the fight against coronavirus as it helps find cases in individuals who don't have any symptoms. They are then able to self-isolate, preventing the spread of COVID-19 to others. People can pick up their free rapid COVID-19 home test kits from rapid test centres at Penderford Library between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m. daily, Ashmore Park Hub between 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays, and the Civic Centre between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. They are also now available from the PCR test centres at Shoal Road, Blakenor Resource Centre, Whitmarines Library, Falkland Street Car Park and Mountford Lane Car Park, Bilston, between 2:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. each day. People can collect up to 2 boxes, containing a total of 14 kits at a time. The kits contain step-by-step instructions enabling people to complete and report the result of their test from the comfort of their home. Anyone testing at home is reminded that they must report a test result, even if it is negative, via gov.uk or by calling 119 to help keep everyone safe and build up an accurate picture of the spread of the virus in the city. Rapid testing is not available for people who have symptoms of COVID-19, including a fever, a new continuous cough, or a change to the sense of taste and smell, or people who have been told to isolate. Anyone with symptoms should immediately self-isolate and book a PCR test by visiting gov.uk or calling 119. LGBT+ Sparkle Wolverhampton, in association with the Ethnic Minority Council, are hosting a COVID-19 awareness event with speaker Dr. Kamran Ahmed. Dr. Kamran Ahmed will answer all of your health-related questions, including the safety of the COVID vaccine for those taking HIV medication or puberty blockers, as well as giving people the opportunity to discuss with their community what life has been like for you and how you're feeling about the future. Led by Wolverhampton Community Champions and LGBT+ Sparkle Wolverhampton, the event takes place online on Thursday the 29th of April at 2 p.m. More information can be found at lgbt-covid-aware.eventbrite.co.uk or by calling 01902 313 052. The public are being reminded the vaccine is only available on the NHS and is free of charge. The NHS will never ask you for details about your bank account or to pay for the vaccine. If you receive an email, text message or phone call purporting to be from the NHS and you're asked to provide financial details, this is a scam. The NHS will never ask you for your bank account or card details. The NHS will never ask you for your PIN or banking password. The NHS will never arrive unannounced at your home to administer the vaccine. The NHS will never ask you to prove your identity by sending copies of personal documents such as your passport, driving licence, bills or pay slips. If you believe you're a victim of a fraud, please report this to Action Fraud as soon as possible by calling 0300 123 2040 or by visiting www.actionfraud.police.uk. Up now we have a message about the COVID-19 vaccination programme from Keith Fraser.
Hi everyone, I'm Keith Fraser, a former senior police officer who worked in Wolverhampton for around 3 years. I'm now the chair of the Youth Justice Board for England and Wales. I have seen firsthand the impact that this terrible virus can have. My brother is a paramedic on the front line. I've lost somebody who I'd like to call a friend, a member of my family has also lost their mother. But I'm extremely proud of my mother, despite all the scepticism, who in her 70s has had the COVID-19 vaccination. Vaccinations are our way out of this pandemic and how we will get back to a more normal life. It's the best way to get protection and will save the lives of thousands. Please do your bit to protect your loved ones, because the vaccines are safe. They have been extensively tested during clinical trials approved by the UK regulator, the Medical Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency. Getting the vaccine is easy. When you are contacted by the NHS, if you have any worries, talk to them. The NHS is vaccinating people in order of risk. So when you are asked to have the vaccination, please say yes.
Up now, we have some more local news. And starting us off, it's Christine.
A new multi-million pound department store got a firm thumbs up from its first customers as non-essential shops reopened for the first time this year. The first shoppers through the door of the new Fraser's department store in Wolverhampton said they were very impressed. Paying the ultimate compliment, Jeanette Hickman of Northwood Park said, "I think it's better than Beatty's. I think it's a lot brighter and it's in a better location." The 45-year-old had bought makeup on the opening day, but said she planned to return to buy a luxury handbag. "They have got some high-quality designer bags. I spend a lot of money on handbags," she said. The store at the former Debenhams unit in the centre replaces the old Beatty store, which had been in Victoria Street for 144 years. It is the first of a new concept of stores which bring all of retail magnate Mike Ashley's brands together under one roof. Sue Rostance, out shopping with her sister-in-law Val Rostance, also praised the range of handbags on offer. She too said the new shop was better than Beatty's. "I thought Beatty's went a bit down market when it was taken over by House of Fraser, but this is much better, especially when the cafe opens," said Sue, 72. Amanda Plant, out shopping with her friend Steph Bentley, said, "It's beautiful. The homewares department is just gorgeous. I hope it does well. I will be coming back." Another man, who asked not to be named, said the new shop was a welcome addition. "It's a good thing. It's good to see somebody bringing something back into Wolverhampton."
Legendary Brummie comic Jasper Carrot has added a second date at Dudley Town Hall for his stand-up and rock show later this year. With the first date on Friday, November the 19th, at the St James's Road venue almost sold out, the popular TV comic has added another show on Saturday, November the 20th. Tickets went on sale for the new date at 10 a.m. today and are expected to be snapped up quickly. Alex Jackson, booker for Dudley Borough Hall, said, "It's a real treat to be able to add a second Dudley Town Hall date with the legendary Jasper Carrot and his fantastic stand-up and rock show. After a really tough 12 months for everyone, there's clearly a huge appetite out there for great live entertainment, and we're more than happy to oblige." Dudley Borough Halls were hitting record ticket sales before the pandemic took hold, and we can't wait to welcome back our wonderful audiences. Carrot is one of a number of huge names in the comedy world set to bring their shows to Dudley Town Hall, Stourbridge Town Hall, or Cornbow Hall, Ailes Owen, including John Bishop, Chris Ramsey, Jason Manford, Josh Widdicombe, Russell Kane, Gary Poundland, Doreen Tipton, Ed Byrne, Dom Jolly, Jim Davidson, John Chalice, and the Black Country Night Out.
One of Europe's largest touring big top shows is returning to the Black Country on its post-lockdown tour. Gandhi Circus is heading to the Maryhill Shopping Centre for 12 days and promises to take circus lovers on a voyage around the world in 80 minutes. Gandhi's is inviting those present to join them on an adventure from Victorian London through the USA, South America and Africa. The show will include motorcycles, the death-defying space wheel, and artists hand-picked from each corner of the earth, as well as clowns Chico Rico and Andrea. Gandhi's performed at Butlins last year after the first lockdown, with COVID rules allowing big top circuses to open before other indoor venues. The circus says the venue will be COVID secure with social distancing measures in place.
A steel sculpture towering almost 20 feet has been installed at a nature reserve, honouring a protected species that lives there. The yellow and green newt sculpture, made by Black Country artist Luke Perry, now stands proudly at Fens Pool Nature Reserve in Pensnet, Briley Hill, Dudley. The project was funded by the National Lottery after an application was made by the Parks Friends Group. Mr. Perry, aged 37, from Stourbridge, said the Fens Pool has got a listed creature, which is the crested newt. When that was discovered, it allowed them to gain access to protected status. It has been one of those sites that people have wanted to build on for a long while. When the newt was discovered, it became clear that that was not an option, really. The newt, in many ways, helped to protect the site. In a circular form, the newt protects the site and the site protects the newt. The art project has been in the pipeline for years, but it took Mr. Perry around 2.5 months to sculpt. The sculpture weighs around a ton, is made from galvanised steel and is painted in yellow and green. It stands at around 6 metres tall, the equivalent of 19.6 feet. Mr. Perry continued, "We have already had people stop and take loads of photos. It is in front of a beautiful landscape of water and greenery and blue skies, which not everybody expects to see in the middle of Pensnet. I suppose it is drawing attention to something that people might take for granted." He added, "It was commissioned by the Friends of Fens Pool and Nature Reserve, and that was in turn funded by the National Lottery. It was specifically money for arts, it wasn't public money." For more information about Mr. Perry's work, visit www.ihsartsworks.com.
Radio presenter Dickie Dodd has revealed his new career as a part-time bus driver while sharing the highlights of his career in a new podcast. Dickie discusses everything from finding himself struck dumb on stage at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre to being made redundant from Signal 107 last year. He also talks about how lucky he feels to be able to give back to the community. "I am really proud of what I have done over the years and how I can use my role to help raise awareness and help charities. I can entertain people, but I can also help to make a difference," he said. Dickie's career took a new path last year after he was made redundant after 19 years as long-standing role as breakfast presenter on Signal 107. He found a new home as a presenter at 101.8 WCRFM in Wolverhampton, but he also qualified as a West Midlands bus driver and is delighted to be able to indulge his boyhood love for buses alongside his passion for local radio. In the podcast called The Media and Me, Dickie reveals he fell into radio almost by accident. He had planned to do a video at Wolverhampton Bus Depot for his media studies course at school, but was turned down for health and safety reasons. Through a neighbour, he ended up going along to Beacon Radio to film a day in the life of Beacon Radio. He walked into the Tetnall Road studios to find Dale Winton on air, playing Waterloo by ABBA. It was a fortuitous visit. Not only did it begin his lifelong love affair with radio, but he also met the girl who would later become his wife. "The way I got into radio was a bit like default, really," he said. "It was not meant to happen, but it did. And I am really glad it did. Radio is not a job, it's a way of life. I really love it."
Now it's time to hear from Flashback Roger, who asked for us some more amazing facts.
Hello everyone, it's Roger again with this week's selection of fascinating facts from around the world. There are so many to choose from on my weekly trawl that I hope I'm picking the ones that tickle your enjoyment. Anyway, here we go for this week. Did you know that there was no glass in the specs Daniel Radcliffe wore as Harry Potter? Although it looks like there was, The appearance of lenses was added post-production with computerized graphics, and that, folks, is magic. Brown sugar is no less refined than white sugar. The only difference is the fact that some of the molasses that get removed in the refining process is added back, and of course it's the molasses that give the brown sugar its texture and flavour. Here's a bit of a technical one. Have you ever heard of a petabyte? I hadn't. We all know that 1 gigabyte is the same as 1024 megabytes, but did you know that 1 petabyte is equivalent to 1024 terabytes? To give an example of how big this is, 1 petabyte hard drive could hold 33.3 years of HD TV video. A 50 petabyte hard drive could hold the entire written works of mankind from the beginning of recorded history in all languages. The invention of the radio was such a big technological deal, but it took 38 years for radio to reach an audience of 50 million. Meanwhile, the iPod only took 3 years to reach the same milestone. Such is the speed of advancement of the 20th century. People read faster or slower, depending on what they read from. Not only do you blink less when you're on a computer, but reading from a screen also allows you to slow down. On average, people read 10% slower from a screen than from paper. As for the blinking part, did you know that during everyday life, people normally blink at a rate of 20 times per minute, but put them in front of a computer and that number drops way down to 7 times per minute. Spam mail was named after the canned meat. In a Monty Python skit, they said that spam was horrible and inescapable. Sounds pretty accurate to the annoying junk mail I get, I can tell you. Also, did you know that on average, for every spam mail sent, they get only one reply for every 12 million? It makes you wonder if it's even worth it at that point, really, doesn't it? Anyway, that's it for this week, folks. I'm off to check my emails for any spam. You never know. I might even find some corned beef for a change. Oh well, I'll just say bye for now. Ta-ra!
Thanks, Roger. Now we head over to Mina with the weather forecast for the week ahead.
The weather for this week ahead looks to be mostly settled, with temperatures slightly lower than last week, hovering around 12 to 13 degrees. UV levels are expected to be moderate throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 5:46 a.m. for the sunrise and 8:27 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 23rd of April through to Sunday 25th, we have sunny intervals and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees. On Monday 26th of April through to Wednesday 28th, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 12 degrees. And Thursday 29th of April, we have light rain showers and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 12 degrees. So that's your forecast for the week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Thanks that, Mina. Now we head to some more sounds of nature, which this week is brought to us by Ed.
A tiny brown bird with a short, cocked tail and a loud voice. The wren is unmistakable. It can be found in almost any habitat where there are insects to eat and bushes or rock crevices in which to build their domed nest out of moss and twigs. There are a number of subspecies of wren, including the Fair Isle wren and the St Kilda wren. Both are endemic breeding birds of their respective isles in Scotland. The wren is the most common breeding bird in the UK. There are currently 8.6 million breeding wren territories.
This recording was made by Lawrence Shove and was made available by the British Library. Coming up next, we have Ian with the sport.
Hello, I'm Ian, and here's your latest football news. Boss Sam Allardyce says there are players at Albion who are unhappy with their lack of playing time. But the 66-year-old has warned them they will only force their way back into the side by conducting themselves right on and off the field. Allardyce didn't reveal which members of his squad have approached him, asking for more game time. But Branislav Ivanovic, Kieran Gibbs, Romain Sawyers, Jake Livermore, Grady Diangana and Carlan Grant are all high-profile players who haven't featured a lot under the former England boss. I have to give all the players credit for the camaraderie amongst them, Allardyce said. There are one or two players who are not happy about not being selected. They are looking at me saying, why are you not picking me? That always happens. They don't realise what they do on a day-to-day basis or when they play. They select themselves or deselect themselves. When players tell me I've dropped them, what they don't realise is I haven't dropped them, they have dropped themselves. That's been the case now for many, many years because of the data we have. I look at the data on every single player in training and I look at the data of every single player in a match. I look at their body language in training. I look at how dedicated they are when it comes to what extras they do. And quietly, I look along and think, it's going to be difficult for you to get in because I can't see you changing my mind. William José finally opened his Wolves account as they got over the fabled 40-point mark with a 1-0 victory against the now relegated Sheffield United. Bouncing back from the disappointment of having a fine header chalked off at Fulham, José did well to steer home Adama Traoré's cross after the break. His first goal in gold and black, coming in his 13th appearance, was enough to settle a fairly underwhelming affair at Molineux. Nuno Espirito Santo's side are now on 41 points, with 6 Premier League games left to play. Defeat for the Blades, though, sealed their relegation to the Championship. It was not a thriller by any means, but this is a victory which should give Wolves more room to experiment in the final weeks of the season. Looking at the positives, it is successive wins for Nuno's pack and José's barren run has come to an end. Credit to the 29-year-old as he found the net in style. It was an instinctive finish and should lift a big weight off his shoulders. Nelson Semedo also played a key role in the goal, coming up with a brilliant block before Wolves, something we have not seen from them in a good while, made the visitors pay with a rapid, clinical counter-attack. Games on the whole, unfortunately, remain pretty tough to watch. The first half in particular was drab, and creativity very much remains an issue for Wolves. But now they are in no danger of being dragged into a relegation fight. There is scope for Nuno to try some things out. Players like Vitinha and Morgan Gibbs-White will hope to gain more minutes. Perhaps even youngsters Lewis Richards and Theo Corbinu, both on the bench for this one, could be handed their senior debuts. Of course, there is still an onus on picking up results and finishing as high in the table as possible. But fans wouldn't mind seeing them, within reason, throw a little more caution to the wind over the next month.
Thanks for that sports update, Ian. Now we head over to Mina, who has for us, as always, the quiz answers. Do you have everything lined up for us, Mina?
I do. So here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. What's odd about Harry Potter's specs? The answer, there were no actual lenses. Question 2. What is added to white sugar to make it brown? And the answer, molasses. Question 3. How many terabytes is equal to 1 petabyte? And the answer here is 1024. Question 4. How long did it take for iPod to get 50 million users? And the answer here is just 3 years. Question 5. Do you read faster or slower reading from a computer screen? And the answer here is it's 10% slower. And finally, question 6. On average, how many spam mails are sent out to get one reply. And the answer here is 12 million. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, it's time to visit Graham Fisher to hear one of his tales from the barn.
Hello. Being more absorbed by inland waters than those of the deep blue briny, my attentions are usually drawn to the latter only when, say, reminiscing about seaside holidays or when some violent storm or tragedy hits the 6 o'clock news. Yet I recognise that here on the Welsh borders, although the barn be some 75 miles or so from the nearest stretch of Welsh coastline, dismissing the shorter hop to the Bristol Channel, if that counts as sea, the presence of seagulls on the wired Hereford, some 20 miles even further inland from us, is indicative of something wild going on out there that has driven the poor creatures temporarily to a more peaceful haven. For those actually out in the Irish Sea during such torrid times, and in an enduring saga that is replicated around the planet, the requirement for reliable navigational aids is paramount. Nowadays, technology allows for pinpoint positioning via satellite links and GPS. Yet it is not so very long ago that mariners reposed their faith almost exclusively in the reassuring familiarity of a lighthouse. The Victorian era was the zenith of lighthouse building around Wales. While some were built as a proactive safeguard, many were born out of tragedies. The great storm over the 25th and 26th of October 1859 saw some 133 ships wrecked around the Welsh coast alone. Accruing a death toll of over 800, the natural disaster is also known as the Royal Charter Storm, after the ship of the same name that was driven onto the east coast of Anglesey with the loss of more than 450 lives. The word rugged does not do these parts full justice, and the coastline is synonymous with bleakness intertwined with Celtic legend. No surprise that it is extensively photographed. One of the more unusual interpretations might still be tucked in your old vinyl record collection if you bought Siren, the 1975 Roxy Music album featuring singer Brian Ferry's blossoming love interest at the time, model and actress Jerry Hall, scantily clad and begat with a flowing mane of golden hair, lying mermaid-like on rocks near South Stack at Anglesey. Yes, rugged indeed, and those ancient mariners had much cause to give thanks to the development of what we might refer to as the modern lighthouse, which until the 19th century was essentially nothing more than a fire or illumination on a prominent spot. As sea trade increased, such rudimentary measures were clearly inadequate. The problem was not a new one, and in a letter to his wife dated 17th of July 1757, after narrowly avoiding a shipwreck, Benjamin Franklin wrote, "Were I a Roman Catholic, perhaps I should on this occasion vow to build a chapel to some saint. But as I am not, if I were to vow at all, it should be to build a lighthouse." On the 18th of May 1824, Robert Lucas Chance purchased the works of the British Crown Glass Company, on the borders of Smethwick and a rapidly developing Birmingham. His brother William joined him in 1832 and sealed the future for a company that was to become the largest glassmaker in the land and which in the following decades produced specialist glass at a scale unprecedented in the UK for clients of every hue. In doing so, the company made an invaluable contribution to the development of the country's modern economy and in light of the Admiral Chance philanthropy on society itself. The supply of glass for the Crystal Palace, constructed to house the Great Exhibition of 1851, was probably the company's most famous single project. Other notables include the glass for the clock tower, or since the Queen's Jubilee of 2012, now more accurately known as Elizabeth Tower, that is home to Big Ben, and ornamental windows in the White House, USA. Elihu Burritt, author of the 1868 classic Walks in the Black Country and coiner of that memorable phrase, the Black Country, black by day and red by night, commented on Chance, "In no other establishment in the world can one get such a full idea of the infinite uses which glass is made to serve as in these immense works." The company traded on its reputation as the greatest glass manufacturer in Britain, and an increasingly diverse output included decorative slump glass fiestaware for the table, rolled plate glass, large sheet glass, and cathode ray tubes. Chance were pioneers in the development of the Sumo pump and other cutting-edge innovations, but it was their design and production of lanterns for the first generation of modern lighthouses to consistent standards of clarity and luminescence, which was arguably the company's greatest achievement. Chance's development of the Fresnel lens system, in which a suffusing light source is focused into a penetrating beam, contributed immensely to maritime safety and the saving of lives, a field wherein it reigned supreme for over a century, and the legacy of which can still be seen in virtually every lighthouse around the globe. For more than 130 years, Chance Brothers was one of the most important industrial employers in the Midlands, and its workshops extended across nearly 30 acres southwards from the current site into the North Smethwick area. There are many former employees alive today who, along with their families, remember with affection the provenance of the company and the sense of communal solidarity that it created. Those same factors that decimated much of the glass industry both locally and beyond were exacerbated in Chance's case by cash flow problems, and it slowly declined throughout the 20th century until the final lock was clicked into place in 1981. Since then, it has suffered the inexorable spiral of decline, vandalism and sundry commercial use that was neither sensitive to the ethos nor entirely in keeping with the provisions of what is now a scheduled monument. The site has retracted considerably, but the 9 acres or so that remain contain an eclectic mix of buildings and artifacts, many of which are in a distressed state. Yet its stark remains are still very much extant, and no one can drive along the M5 without noticing the imposing 7-storey building of 1847 vintage nestling between 2 lines of canal. A connection with inland waterways is no coincidence. The new main line of the Birmingham Canal Navigations cuts Arrow straight through the site, and, together with the old main line meandering nearby at the high level, once played a key role in the company's infrastructure and operations. I need not recount the sorry saga of continuing decay of the Chance site throughout the ensuing decades, but will instead fast forward to 2016 and the official launch of the Chance Glassworks Heritage Trust. The Trust's vision is for a mixed-use development with due recognition to the archaeology and history of the site, in particular its glass-making heritage and its legacy on the surrounding economy and environment. This is intended as a community-focused regeneration in which public consultation will be encouraged at every stage, thereby reintegrating the site with the people it will once again serve. I declare an interest here in being one of the original trustees. Significantly, it is proposed the site will be made nouveau iconique by the inclusion of a full-sized replica lighthouse, the likes of which help make Chance recognisable throughout the realm. This will be a symbolic acknowledgement of Chance's exceptional achievements and his contribution as a world leader in the technology of the time. Meanwhile, back in the day when navigators were at the mercy of perilous seas off the Welsh coast, and for that matter just about anywhere else, they can be forgiven for perhaps not being mindful that their nautical endeavours were being aided immeasurably by a company located on the fringes of the Black Country at one of the farthest points from the ocean in Great Britain that it is possible to get. Enjoy your Black Country, and do join me again soon for more Tales from the Barn.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sightless tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, And thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Stay safe. Ta-ra!